Welcome back. This is Peds and Qs with Dr. Katie Patillo
and Dr. Divya Koster.
We are here today excited to talk about recovery and addiction in honor of National Recovery Month. We have a special podcast planned for you today. Just to note, if you had listened to us previously, we did change our name from Mama Docs of Boston to Peds and Qs. So you can now follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And Podomatic is where we'll be recording our podcast, and links will be provided in both Facebook and Instagram. So today we're going to talk to Dr. Koster about a loved one that she has seen and lived through some addiction and recovery. So it's a personal experience, but she also has been a provider on pediatrics and adolescents. Although we don't see a ton of addiction and recovery in pediatrics, we definitely want to shed some light and mostly spread awareness on this national pandemic we have. All right. So, Dr. Koster.
All right. So, do you want to ask me questions?
Yeah. So, you have a loved one that you have seen go through an addiction. Actually, Dr. Koster and I, even though we work together, we've never discussed this. So, I'm going to be learning about this experience just along with you. You have somebody that you know has struggled with addiction for quite some time.
I actually know a few people who have had sort of lifelong addictions with substances. So it's sort of something that I've dealt with personally and professionally. Not personally myself. I personally do not have an addiction to substance use. However, I unfortunately do have loved ones who have had issues.
Yeah, and it really involves the entire family, something like this, entire family and your whole group of support people, friends, family, they kind of all suffer through an addiction with that loved one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like with addiction, it's oftentimes not the person with the addiction who suffers as much as it is the people around, like the relatives, the family members, the friends of the person with the problem who suffer, I don't want to say more, but they just suffer differently.
Yeah, it definitely affects everybody. And that's why we wanted to interview somebody, a family member, who has kind of seen how this plays out. So your loved one, are they in recovery now?
Well, so I guess I'll specifically talk about my loved one who is not in recovery. And so he's been in recovery in the past. It's sort of been, in recovery and addiction, in recovery and addiction. I would say that once you have an addiction, you don't necessarily lose the addiction. You're kind of always, absolutely, you kind of always have the addiction. And I believe my loved one does recognize the addiction and that he has it. It's just obviously difficult to, treatment is very expensive. I feel like the hardest part for somebody with an addiction is first realizing that there's a problem. And then once he or she realizes that there is a problem, the next sort of barrier is how to get treatment, because there unfortunately are so many obstacles, financially, socially, probably even emotionally, that get in the way.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Very difficult. It can tear families apart, tear lives apart.
Right.
So what stage have you found, like, or you said back and forth?
And that
is typical of any kind of addiction, opiate versus like alcoholism.
Yeah.
They kind of go back and forth, and you never lose that addiction. That's something that will stay. It's just how you live with it. And
Right. It just becomes a part of
of
who you are.
Mm-hmm. So as a physician, I know we do pediatrics, and we were just talking, we don't have a we don't have our many patients because we see children right. who are addicted. But we do know, you know, as a what to look out for, what we want to tell parents during physicals to look out for. So going through this personally and, you know, knowing our job as pediatricians, what would you want to tell our caregivers that you wish you had known? Any like tidbits of information to look out for, warning signs, any red flags?
I mean, I would say the warning signs are definitely there for people who either know someone who has an addiction or either has an addiction. I know in my practice, I always, you know, when I talk to my teenagers, I always ask them, do you know anyone who has a drug or alcohol problem? And luckily, most people, I feel like they yeah. say no. There are some people that say yes. So I try to be proactive about asking the question and then following that up with, if they say yes, that it's important to know that it's not your fault. You didn't cause the addiction. This person doesn't have the addiction because of something you either did or didn't do. And that it's a disease, just like any other disease, whether it's asthma or diabetes, addiction is also a disease. And, you know, in some ways it is sort of a brain disease. So, you know, so I try to, as a doctor, be proactive about that in my patient, you know, for my yeah. patients.
Yeah.
As a parent or as a caregiver, I think that some children are very private about, yeah. you know, especially about you know, especially with the high availability of substances right now.
Absolutely.
And the fact that they're so easy to hide.
They are. And there's a lot of stuff out there for teens right now. We probably could do an entire podcast episode just on recreational drug use in
right.
teens. I definitely think talking to your teens is just, it's so important. And I know I talk about this in my physicals with parents and teens, you know, try to have an open conversation. I know that's easier said than done. And some people, they can converse pretty freely with their teen, but a lot of times some teens are shut down. But always try to, as a caregiver, always try to let them know. And it's really important that you let them know that you're here to talk.
Yeah.
Nothing is off the table.
Right.
And I think that's a really important take-home message.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, especially like teenagers with their the whole prefrontal cortex mm-hmm. not fully developed until a child is 25.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's going to be some of that, you know, risk-seeking behavior mm-hmm. that, you know, that adrenaline, you know, I get a rush when I do something that I'm either not supposed to or that could hurt, you know, could be dangerous. Right. And so I think that it's important, obviously, to, you know, for caregivers and parents to kind of keep that in mind. One of the things that makes me really, really nervous is, you know, A, how available it is and how easy it is for children to purchase.
Yeah, it's incredible. And it starts at middle school. So all you caregivers out there thinking that you have years and years of time, this starts in middle school, that they're going to start getting exposed to stuff. I mean, now I have so many of my patients who are young who have been telling me they do puff bars mm-hmm. It's so easy to get the jewels,
you know, and it's so easy to hide,
very easy to hide, and they flavor them. I mean, these companies I think should be sued because they put them watermelon bubblegum flavor in
gummies, these kids
have no idea what they're doing. They just want to fit in.
Exactly.
Peer pressure.
Right.
So really, you know, have an open conversation. Make sure you know where your kids are. Know who they're hanging out with.
As much as you can. I mean, you can't always.
No, but as much as you can, and, you know, let them know that it is easy to, I think, cave to peer pressure, but.
Right. And also a shout out to people, not a shout out, but, you know, I do see toddlers and preschoolers and elementary age kids that have accidental overdoses.
I saw that on the ER. Lots of gummy and edible overdoses.
Chocolate.
And
unfortunately, the packaging is
not
as secure as I would like it to be.
No. So, you know, I know marijuana is legal now. You need to be really careful about where you keep it with your child. Right. I had a really bad case in the ER. A child overdosed on brownies that were laced with marijuana, and the kid ended up intubated. So.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this stuff, you know, be really, really careful with it. Even though it's legalized, doesn't mean that it's supposed to be.
Right. Exactly.
In the hands of small little children.
And unfortunately, with some drugs, like alcohol, is very acceptable in our culture. You know, you go out with a friend, you have a glass of wine, or you know, you joke about it with for instance, you know, if I'm hanging out with my friends, it's acceptable.
It is. Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's very, in my opinion, very addicting. I've actually, because of my loved one's addiction with alcohol, I've actually decided that I don't want to drink alcohol ever again. And it's obviously, it's easy for me to say now. I'm not that old, and I have hopefully my whole life ahead of me, but my feelings towards, I don't know, I don't even know if I should be saying this on the podcast, however, I have such a deep, I don't know that hatred's the right word. It's more of a
resentment.
Yeah, resentment towards certain substances.
Yeah. And we definitely are in a culture now where it's, for some reason, it's acceptable. There's shirts and like hoodies out, like Mama Juice is wine. And I'm not knocking wine, because I love wine, but I definitely sometimes have to kind of take a step back and say, do I want my kids seeing me have a glass of wine in my hand every
and
night?
Don't get me wrong, I love my favorite beer.
Yes. We are not bashing wine
or
beer. We're just...
Exactly.
I definitely think we're in a different... 2021 is different than 1985. I know my mom, like, kind of always tells me, I never drank in front of you kids, which is not true at all. She did. but I think it's a different culture that we're, you know, it's very acceptable.
Right.
And it's not bad. Everything in moderation is okay.
Right.
But for an alcoholic or somebody, you know... They can't do it in moderation.
Right. I mean, that's part of the brain problem
is
the fact that moderation just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So,
thank you for sharing your story. And it's really difficult to do on a personal level. But we definitely are going to get some sources up on our Facebook and Instagram. In terms of recovery, we talked a lot about addiction because there's not a ton to talk about with recovery, but obviously we're recovering from an addiction. And there are some organizations out there we were just talking about before we started recording for alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, they're great organizations, fabulous organizations. And the nice thing about these organizations is they are throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just in the United States. And some of them are super, I believe AA has been around since the 1960s.
Yes. Very long.
Which is a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So AA, I mean, AA has,
everyone knows AA.
Everyone knows AA.
Yeah. Alcohol's Anonymous.
Right. Al-Anon for... family members of people who have addictions with
alcohol.
Which is
great. That's a great organization.
Right. Alateen for teenagers. I believe Alateen is for teenagers who either have a who have an alcohol use disorder.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I always think it's important to know what the resources are. Some people are not crazy about AA because there is... I don't know if it's like a religious thing or there is some sort of a power that they talk about with AA.
They had us
with
go
the 12
to an,
steps.
Yes, they had us go to an AA meeting in medical school. So I've actually been to one.
Okay.
I don't remember anything
That's
religious.
That's really good.
Though. I don't remember.
So, but there are some other organizations that don't incorporate that particular, not religious. It's not religious. Mm-hmm. It's just the higher power.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that higher power is for you.
Right.
But for people who don't believe that there is a higher power, there are other organizations, which I promise, include in social media.
Yes. So check out our Facebook page, our Instagram page. Like us, follow us. We are going to be having a great podcast next week about mindfulness, and we have a special guest speaker who we love. Going to be talking about some resources because everyone is being affected by stress and anxiety with this COVID pandemic and in life. And we're excited for you to hear that. All right. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.